Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Can you say fugly sea conditions? I think this may be it for the autumn striper run down the beach and out front. Here inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 10th and 11th. It was one hell of an autumn run. Hey, the bass are still out there, but it's you got some fugly, ugly, otherwise unhappy conditions out there. I know some party boats and charter boats I've been in contact with don't plan on sailing till maybe this coming Thursday. Some venturing maybe Wednesday, we shall see, but I think that's it. Again, the bass are there. It's a matter of getting to them and fishing them effectively. Now, the tog bite should resume, no problem. The tog bite's been ferocious. This crunch has been going on. The secret has been the white lagers, if you can get them. And I know plenty of people still catching them on the green crabs, predicated on depth and structure down below, either the jig or the rig. Hey, shout out to Matthew Florio. Broke the long fin albacore record, the state record. He nailed one 78 pounds, 2.4 ounces back in October. Broke the previous 84 record by 3.4 ounces. Good to go. And I love my long fin tuna. People say, oh, big eye are great eating, yellow fin are great. Oh, they all are. But give me the long fin at any time. Hey, a lot of stuff going on. I have a really jammed show coming up in our next segment. Ed Markowski, we're talking the resumption of the bear hunt and what is going on with that. Also, hey, man, get out, get off your bleep and get some bass. Largemouth bass by transition period, but some pretty good fishing going on out there. Local ponds and the big waters. And before we go, one final shout out. Mike, he takes him one. Taylor out there, help me out of a bind Friday morning, big time. Thank you, Mike. You are indeed a wizard. Yes, he is the dad of Captain Brett. Takes him to Taylor. Man, great to have friends like that out there in the fishing and broadcast business. Grab that cup, grab that rub. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Ed Markowski talking Yogi and Boo Boo coming up. Then Chris Smith. Oh, yeah. Bass biologist and bass fisherman extraordinaire talking this late transition largemouth situation. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And this past week, let's see, they were about the, hey, man, last chance public land buck. Still plenty around. Deer season ends today. Also, first segment of the bear season ends today. There's a blog about the bears. The bear hunt is on, and it will continue next week. Indeed, glorious. I'll tell you, last week, I felt like when I used to box, I get punched in the guts and just dropped down. Really, really was a, again, I said, waiting for the other shoe to drop. You always have an inkling. You never, ever, ever, ever underestimate the antis. And somehow they were able to get a stay on the hunt. However, the hunt was back on a two-judge ruling. A state appellate division judges Lisa Rose, who originally had to stay, and Carmen Massano ruled that the antis, their briefs did not come up to snuff. Joining us in a celebratory interview right now, tell us what is going on. And congratulations, Ed Markowski, president of New Jersey Outdoor Alliance and the State Federation of Sports. Everyone involved with this. Bear, and I'm going to ask Ed, is it on now? Will it be continuing for years to come? Ed Markowski, congratulations. Thanks again. How you doing, big brother?
Doing good, Tommy. Thanks for having me on today.
Always welcome, Ed. The news was great. When I heard it, was you gave me a buzz. Was that Tuesday, late Tuesday morning, early Tuesday afternoon? I was bouncing off walls. You want to know the damage that did to the sheetrock, Markowski, but that's another story. Ed, tell us what happened when you got the word. What went down here, bud?
I guess the state had written their brief, the animal rights had written their briefs, and their brief was so shallow there was absolutely no meat to the bone. And so when it was reviewed by two appellate judges, they immediately overturned the stay and reinstated the season. Like our lawyer had called me up, the lawyer had Peter from up north. On our lawsuit, he said everything that we had in our briefs that we filed, the state used to file for their brief of why we needed a bear season. So the good thing is we have a bear season this year. The bad thing is it started late, and our harvest is lagging far behind. As of yesterday, we had harvested 48
bales. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and I would assume that we would be in that 20 to 25 range today again, and then again on Saturday.
Listen, real quick, full disclosure, we're in the studio early. It's early Friday afternoon, because we're going to be away hunting, me and the lovely Dee Marie, this weekend. So as numbers, we will see that these numbers are going to be different. Again, the season ends, as if it's Saturday, season's going to end today. And then, Ed, it's going to restart when the segment, the extension?
Well, if we don't kill or don't harvest the number of bears that are required, it will reopen again from the 14th through the 17th. And that would be next week. That would be the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. So while it will close on Saturday the 10th, it will reopen if we haven't reached a significant number in the harvest on the 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Now, what's that, 20% of the 188 tagged bears or something? It's very scientific. We have the biologists second to none in the country when it comes to wildlife management. So, Ed, now, here's the question. This is a hunt. Now, again, the mild weather, it's been to our favor in that regard. I mean, some of it has been rain, snow, sleet, whatever, and the bears have gone to den, almost all of them, early. Most of the sows, I would think, are going by the lack of light, whatever. You know, they're down, but there's still plenty of bears around. Ed, now, this is, quote-unquote, an emergency hunt, so to speak, safety hunt. Will hunts continue now? I know there's going to be a public hearing on a comprehensive bear management plan sometime next month, correct?
Yes. One of the good things of this is that the current commissioner, Sean LaTourette, has signed the current bear management plan into effect. And that starts the wheels in motion for a public hearing, for the public comment period, and then for the publishing of the policy or plan in the register. Once that is done, we will have a black bear policy in effect that's good for 7 years. Good thing that came out of the fact that in the end, we will have, starting in 2023, for the next 7 years, we will have a black bear management plan that is in place and that we can modify and we can make changes to, but we'll pretty much guarantee us the ability to have a bear season.
Now, Ed, will there be a segment A, as in past years, with the archery and muzzleloader, and a segment B with the muzzleloader and shotgun?
Yes, it'll be exactly what the biologists and what the Fish and Game Council had proposed in the past. We will have the segment A and a segment B, because only when you join the two segments together do you get a sufficient number of bears harvested to make a difference in controlling the bear population. So, yes, answer to your question is yes, there will be a and a B, and yes, the October season and the December season will take place next year.
Hallelujah. Join us on a Rack and Fin Line this morning is Ed Markowski, president of New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. Topic is the reinstatement of the bear hunt, which is going underway. And I'm thinking there will be I can almost guarantee there will be an extension of the hunt next week, 4 or 3 days. So, Ed, as it stands now, Lesniak, the long retired New Jersey State Senator, is already saying he's filing another lawsuit. It's unconstitutional, the setup of the Fish and Game Council, which has always been in the anti's crosshairs. Again, this is going to be another brain drain, financial drain in fighting these lawsuits, is it not? How do people get involved?
Well, the thing of it is, and this has been tried, this isn't the first time. It's not right. Lesniak has been the first brilliant lawyer who has tried to attack that. There are some pretty firm Supreme Court rulings out there in New Jersey supporting the makeup of the Fish and Game Council. If you remember, it was post-1970 when there was a public member added and there was a non-game endangered species member added to the council. So they have found that the council is diversified enough, and there's also legislation with other councils that indicates they fill the councils with people who are familiar with the field. If you have a council dealing with law, it's usually lawyers. If it's medicine, it's doctors. In this case, it's biology and a harvest of wildlife, so it's people who have backgrounds either formal or informal, in wildlife. And so, you know, Lesniak has to make money to live, so people have to pay him to do these things. And so as long as people get paid, this is New Jersey. They'll sue you for anything. Am I worried about that? No, I am not really worried about that at this time because, you know, we have case law to support us.
Join us on the line again is Ed Markowski, president of New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. Ed, I mentioned last week, I said it was a 50-50 chance, and you had said that. And then now your background in law enforcement, you look at things black and white. That's the way it is. There's some gray areas here and there naturally, people. This is, you know, this is humanity. But, Ed, in your extensive background in law enforcement, black and white, deep down, had you had a thought that there would be a stoppage to the hunt, at least briefly, and it would be reinstated, or was it just like everyone else, pretty much hands the air and see where see how it falls out?
No, the only thing that surprised me was the initial response to the judge that heard the initial briefs. I felt that she should have been prepared at that point in time when she received the briefs and requested them to look at the first brief filed and determine the fact that there was not enough to stop a season. To give that first initial injunction surprised me, but I was never surprised and not shocked at all that the season was reopened, because once we knew we'd get to the appellate where we get more than one judge, two or three judge panel, looking at the facts are what we've always said. You can't lie about the facts. These are the facts. They're on paper. They're rebuttable. And looking at the facts, we needed a bear harvest in order to maintain a healthy population and maintain a certain amount of protection for the public, the livestock, and property.
Okay, Ed, you said it beautifully right there. Listeners, that's what it is. The bear hunt is on after a hearing, comprehensive public hearing on a comprehensive bear management plan. Next month in January, guaranteed for 7 years, we will have an autumn hunt. We will have, you know, October hunt. We will have a December hunt. And wildlife management, yeah, science. Follow the science. Well, Ed, one thing, you know, the NJOA dealing with the hunting, trapping, whatever, and fishing rights, what have you. One thing I'm little you're wondering about, again, the right to carry. I don't know if it's in the NJOA bill. I'd like your opinion. Again, as your background in law enforcement, I'm getting these notices here and there and press releases from various organizations. What will we have a right to carry? There seems like there's roadblocks at every turn.
Tom, he's trying to put a very restrictive area on a right to carry. But one of the things that is written in this bill, that's S-3214,
right,
is one of the paragraphs on page 4 that has troubled me from the start. In there, and I'll read it to you so you can get it, many states require property owner's permission before another may enter private property, dwellings, or private lands with a firearm or other weapon. Requiring consent from the property owner before carrying weapons onto private property is also in line with both the reasonable expectations of property rights owners of New Jersey and New Jersey property owners. That scares me, because that means that we would become a state like Texas, that you would not be able to go on unposted private property without the owner's permission.
Right to
and
carry.
This is written into it, and I've asked it to be removed, and I see it made it through the assembly session, their bill. And I'm only hoping that we can get that removed, or at least, you know,
right,
clarified that it's dealing with handguns, not and what bothers me, it says firearms and other weapons. There's their bows and crossbows and everything else.
Everything.
And so this could kill the hunting clubs and the people that go out and hunt unposted private property in New Jersey. So I'm concerned about that portion of the bill. The rest of it is just a mishmash of stuff that they're trying to get through. So far, this has passed out of the assembly along party lines with 43 assembly people voting for it. And I hope that the president of the Senate, Scutari, takes a look at this and deletes that section H on page 4, or at least modifies it to the intent of what the governor is trying to deal with handguns, not the weapons used for hunting.
Right. That's the whole thing. Again, all comes under the umbrella of right to carry. Listen. Hey, well, thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you soon. And the best to Ms. Markowski. And if we don't see you before the new year, have a very merry and happy Christmas and a happy new year, and we'll see you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tom. As always, thanks for having me on.
Always, always. Ed Markowski, President of New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. Join this organization. It kicks ass. Ed, we'll see you soon, man.
Okay.
Yep. Up against a break. Yeah, the bear hunt is on. Yeah, this right to carry thing again. So you think it's just handguns? And again, as Ed said, Murphy's throwing wall up here. Can't even carry your own car. Blah, 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 blah. But again, those little things like that. Okay, what about private property permission? Whoa, what's that all about? Well, we shall see. Politics in New Jersey keeps rolling on. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 10th and 11th. We're in the studio early Friday afternoon because we're going to be going away this weekend to hunt. I'm going to be back out on the Bear Trail next week for a couple of days. Hey, let's hit down some we haven't done in a while, some freshwater bass fishing. Okay, here's the dealio. I'm out here right behind the studio, Birch Grove Park Ponds and some other local ponds right there, looking, just twitching around the Azuri pins, minnow first, looking for maybe some of those fall stock trout. There are a couple of waters in the South Jersey area, the stock that I'm looking at. Everything hits a pins minnow. That's like putting me in front of an anchovy pizza. I mean, it's going to get consumed. It's going to get whacked and stacked. Okay, here we go. Wham! Okay, looking for a pickerel. Need pickerel for an assignment. Come up. Whoa, what's this? Whoa, what's this? Oh, man. Here it is, December. What's we're doing with this largemouth in pretty shallow water here? Make a long story short, more than a few largemouth hit that little downsized crankbait. And I says, man, they should be deeper by now. I know we had some warm days, but some free temperatures and nights in the 20s. What is going on with the bass? I'm totally clueless in this stage of the game. Put in a call to Christopher Smith, longtime friend of Rack and Fin Radio, frequent guest. Chris is Principal Fisheries Biologist of New Jersey's Fish and Wildlife, okay, Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries. He's a man, a former New Jersey Bass Angler of the Year. I understand he was on the tournament show. This is going to be on again next year. 27 years between starting as a seasonal and going full-time. I want to get expert bass fisherman, expert bass biologist. I want to get my finger on the pulse. How can we catch bass consistently, or can they be caught consistently in this late fall, soon to be early winter period before ice, if we do get ice in South Jersey? Chris, thanks for joining us. I know that was a mouthful, it was an earful, but when I called you, I was totally flummoxed. I was like, what are these fish doing shallow? Not big fish, Smith. Nice size largemouths, though. And I said, what is happening, man? I figured they would be deep. What do you think is happening?
Right. Like always, Tom, thanks for having me on the show.
Always.
Appreciate it, and always like getting on here and talking with everybody. So, you know, what I'm thinking right now, you know, definitely fish are in, you know, they're in that transition period. You know, as temperatures, you know, are starting to cool down, we've had some, you know, pretty significant, you know, cold fronts come through, but the temperatures were so warm all through November.
Indian summer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we saw 60 degree temperatures up until Thanksgiving almost this year, which is kind of, you know, not unheard of, but, you know, a little unusual. But it's really kept some of those bass a lot shallower than they normally do. We do get bass that, you know, all winter long, particularly in our smaller, shallower ponds. Those fish are always shallow. They have to be. They have nowhere else to go. So, I mean, it's a great time of year to be targeting largemouth.
And, Chris, I spoke to several other people that have been out on the water. Tom P., this is the latest we're catching bass in any significant numbers. And Chris, more than a few have been fishing from the bank. So I said, yeah, like you said, they are shallow and they're coming in. Now, Chris, following the bait fish, what's the dealio?
Yeah, depending on the lake. You know, we've talked a lot over the years with these lakes that have gizzard shad, ones that may have herring in them, that might have some alewives in them. So places like, you know, like Parvin State Park or Rainbow, Union Lake, you know, Alloway Lake, places that have a real good gizzard shad population.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about Alloway off the record. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So those lakes that have these gizzard shad populations, the bass will target and key in all winter long. So really, in a bass, you know, like a lot of fish, really never go dormant. You know, as long as, you know, all winter long, they have to feed. They might be a little slower than they normally are, and their metabolism's a little slower than it is during the summer, but they'll still go on feeding binges. So you get weather patterns where you get a warm-up, and then you get a cool-down. So usually on the warm-up, you get a couple days of warm temperatures. It pushes a lot of fish, usually not the big fish. It usually pushes a lot of smaller fish up towards the bank. Then you can catch them right along the shoreline trying to get warm. Those bigger fish are usually staying a little bit deeper. Those are the ones that are also going to roam around chasing those gizzard shad out in the middle of the pond. But you'll see that with the warm up and the cool down, you know, you're able to establish a pattern of, you know, of activity, of seeing, you know, between the big fish and the little fish, and when, you know, whether they want to bite on the warming trend or whether they want to bite on the cool down. And that happens all winter long.
Well, Chris, conditions wise, now has there been, again, besides the shallow, forget the shallow waters, has there been the turnover, the annual turnover in places like Union Lake, Lake Lenape, some of the deeper waters? Has that, or is it still in a state of flux?
No, that's all occurred. I mean, that still occurs, you know, the same time as it always would. About mid-October is when we start to see turnover, you know, in these deeper places. Usually it's, you know, characterized by, you know, usually the water gets a little murkier for a little while. You might have an algae bloom for a little bit, different than our harmful algal blooms that we've been having in recent years. But you'll see that normal turnover change of color, you know, after the turnover occurs, and usually it's about the same time that all the leaves start falling off the tree. You have that distinct, like, you know, some of our South Jersey ponds, you know, it's particularly in the, you know, the fringes of the pines, you know, some coastal stuff, you know, Atlantic County, you'll see as the oak trees, you know, start to drop, the lake will turn like almost like a black color, and eventually it kind of stabilizes.
Yeah.
It'll stabilize where it starts to clear up afterwards, you know, and it will. And I know, you know, a little, one of our trout stock locations in Absecon, Heritage Park Pond, you know, I cut my teeth, you know, fishing there, you know, for bass, you know, as a little kid.
Oh, boy.
Still great little pond. And that's one that always has had that, too, where you get, you know, you will get the, as the leaves start to fall, the lake turns kind of like a blackish color, and eventually it clears up.
Chris, on the lower end there, one of my big surprises, we call it the Absecon Pit. Again, it was with my favorite little Yuzori, maybe it's a Snapchat or something like that. About a 5-pound channel cat. Now I said, I called Craig at the Hackensack Hatchery. Yeah, Tom, we just put some bombers in there a couple of weeks ago. And that's besides the bass.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a great time this time of year to always have those incidental catches and, you know, other stuff biting, whether it's ponds that have, you know, some really big pickerel in there. Great time to catch pickerel. Mm-hmm. Crappies are a great cold water fish. Yellow perch are a great water fish. So, you know, you might have a day where, you know, you're targeting largemouth. I always carry that extra bag with me, you know, with some crappy lures, you know, with some little jigs and bobbers and stuff, little hair jigs. You might, you know, a poor day bass fishing, you can always turn it into a good day crappie fishing.
So. This is true. Chris, now when this cold eventually does settle in, it's inevitable. Where can, for example, on a place like Union, or listeners, Lake Lenape, right in downtown Mays Landing, is just an incredible bass fishery for its size and some really monster chain pickerel in there. Can they be patterned as such, Chris, on your electronics, or will they stage in, like, drop-off certain areas below sunken weeds, and will they school?
We'll say all of the above.
Oh.
You can find fish. I've personally caught fish at Union Lake and Lake Lenape in December and in January, when it's not frozen, in the deepest part of the lake, you know. So I've caught fish at Union Lake in 27 feet of water, and on the same day, I've also caught fish in 5 to 6 feet of water. When there's ice along the shoreline, ice along the standing reed grass, I've caught them on a suspending jerkbait, you know, fishing the first drop-off in, you know, like a 6 to 8 foot drop-off with a jerkbait. And I've also caught them dragging a jig, a silver buddy.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask you about the like the head and sonar blade and the silver buddy. Those blade baits can be devastating, yeah. Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly in the places that do have, you know, real good bait fish populations, like an alewife or a gizzard shad. They really seem to key in on that stuff. The, you know, places, you know, the small ponds, it's a little more difficult, you know, especially fishing from the shoreline, you know, using like a silver buddy, like dragging it. It's more of, you know, a bait that kind of you have to almost be in a boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Effectively. Yeah, but definitely, you know, places that don't have it, as much of a keen in on that silvery bait fish, that's more of a yellow perch or even a, you know, a bluegill forage base. I personally haven't done quite as well on a silver buddy in those type of lakes.
Well, Chris, situation here, some of these, housing developments, senior citizen or, you know, can senior citizen living, as I call it, I'm a senior, but now for many years, it seems, you know, you see these ponds here and ponds here, and there's access, you know, you can fish. These things rarely, Chris, get 5-6 feet deep. Now, will those fish be in those deepest parts? Like I said, the sunny day, they will come shallow. Do plastics, like jig with a sassy shad on there, anything like that, or, you know, the swim jigs, have a place in that shallow water game?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a bait that we've been catching them on in the last week or so, fishing from small ponds, fishing from the bank. You know, we've been doing that. Spinning rod, 6-8-pound test line, you know, a little, either a little Ned head, a little ball head jig, 1/8 ounce, you know, a little little 1/8 ounce with, you know, even like a little Kytec on it, you know, or a little little Senko or something, 3-inch Senko, you know, a little Ned rig, something that mimics, you know, either a shad, if it has shad in it, or a, basically came in a watercolor. Yeah, but I mean, that's absolutely, they'll sit in those little bit deeper holes. You know, finding the deeper hole is definitely key, even in those little ponds. Once the fish kind of do settle into their winter, and they're doing that now, we've had sustained temperatures now down with water temperatures in the low 40s. It's about 41 to 43 degrees right now in most of the ponds. They're kind of settling into those deeper areas now.
Okay, Joseph, on the Rack and Fin line is Chris Smith. He is a principal fisheries biologist, New Jersey Fish and Wildlife Bureau Freshwater Fisheries Tournament Angler, former New Jersey Bass Angler of the Year, bass fishing expert, bass fishing biologist extraordinaire. Well, Chris, let me ask you this. Does it get to a point, because I've caught plenty of largemouth and smallmouth through the ice, you know, certain situations, where they, what are they, will they, like maybe pick off a sunny or a shad once a week, their metabolism really slows, or can they be aggressive on the cold water situations?
I think it depends, you know, I think that depending on the water body, you know, really, I truly do believe that those places that have like a gizzard shad, you know, forage base, there's just something about those lakes where it seems like the bite and the aggressiveness of the fish seems to last and it goes longer.
Okay.
Really, the coldest part of the winter, you know, at least for our South Jersey area, is usually that, you know, those middle weeks in January, up into that first week in February. So say like second week in January to the first week in February, that's usually like the coolest, you know, the coldest it's going to be
exactly,
for South Jersey.
Right.
After that, you know, I've had fish, you know, the first week in February, second week in February, where, you know, breaking on the surface, regularly.
Wow. Oh.
You know, I've caught fish, you know, just for, you know, for giggles. I've thrown topwater walking bait, you know, in, you know, 34 degree water and caught fish before. It's not the preferred way to target them, but, you know, I've caught them like that. I mean, they stay active. I think those lakes that, you know, that don't have the gizzard shad, that focus more on the bluegill and the golden shiner, I think they kind of get into that little more of a typical winter pattern where they will go into the deeper holes, and it takes a little more to kind of wake them up. Once they go into their true winter mode, it takes a little more for them to wake up. But if some of those lakes, you know, typically like those gizzard shad ponds, those fish kind of stay awake all winter long.
Good news. That is good news. Chris, some of the top South Jersey lakes, again, one of my faves is Lenape. There's Alloway's, Union Lake, of course. Listen, I'm telling you, you know, there's a packing up north, there's Spruce Run, we get that. But I'll tell you, Chris, Union Lake holds its own, man. That is one of the best bass fisheries in the state. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's always been one of my favorite. I try to fish it still as much as I possibly can, you know, not nearly as much as I would like to these days, but absolutely. I like fishing there in the wintertime, particularly. It's just to me, you know, especially with the electronics that we have today.
It's scary. Those are scary. Those are scary.
It is. It makes it a lot easier to find fish, stay on fish, find the right fish.
Unless it's, so I'm saying that's cheating. Hey, you lead a horse to water, as a cliche goes. You can be on these fish. You still have to make them bite. And believe me, I'm in a boat where people look at me. There's fish under your toppy. How could you not catch it? What's wrong with you? We know that story, Smith. So it gets to that. Well, Chris, before I let you go, I just want to say congratulations on the Bureau. You've been here a long time. All the biologists, workers, techs involved. In your years now, the improvements in the freshwater fishing across the board, especially bass in New Jersey, has been second to none. Chris, the programs, everything seems to just be coming together. New Jersey has begun an article in The Fisherman last spring. New Jersey has become a freshwater fishing destination, has it not?
I absolutely think so. I think that things are, you know, they're definitely in many cases better than they ever were. I think we have great opportunities, you know, close by. No matter where you live in the state, there's always some location that's close by, you know, whether it's a down the street park pond, you know, within an hour's drive, you know, if you have a boat and within an hour's drive, there's a larger pond, that you can use your boat at. We have some great stocking programs, you know, be mm-hmm. it, you know, bass or catfish, our musky stocking program, Northern Pike. We have some really great programs right now, you know, yeah. some, you know, successful, you know, regulations with our trophy bass lakes. Some really good things going on in the state right now.
Chris, not to put you on the spot, are there any plans in the works to add more to the trophy bass lakes? We have some tremendous waters that you wonder, boy, this would be a great one.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it in the past, and, you know, we always have, you know, that those type of regulation changes are always being considered, mm-hmm. you know, as we go out annually and we do our electrofishing surveys and we're monitoring populations, you know, looking at how these populations are being utilized by anglers. We're always kind of looking at other yep. potentials, you know, for adding to that program, and we may in the next few years.
And Chris, when it comes to the bassings, listeners, especially this, hiding in plain sight, these suburban and urban park ponds, some are stocked, you know, with catfish, some are stocked with bass from that great crew up there at Hackettstown. But Chris, you have, where I've seen some jaw-dropping catches made in waters that, okay, they're stocked with trout in the spring, and who cares after that? Or that's just a sunny and bullhead pond. Who cares about that? Well, you could have some superlative bass fishing opportunities if you just take the time and explore waters that just seem too obvious to be any good. I mean, I could rattle off a list of 20 right off the top of my head, man. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, definitely, as I said, you know, and as you said, those little ponds that, you know, you have that diamond in a rough that, you duck right down the street that you drive past every day, maybe going to the grocery store or something, you never really think about it. The quality of the fishery that exists in many of these small ponds.
I was surprised. One guy said to me, he says, "You're not going to believe the fish that are in there, Tom P." I said, "What's that thing, an acre and a half?" He said, "Try it." Went in there with a Ned rig. Again, following my own, and I just think that I always see a lot of people fishing there in the spring for the trout. And Chris, that little Ned rig, again, not big bass, but plenty of them. And you say, wow, mm-hmm. how many times have I driven by here in the past 25 years? So that was just that's just a great find. Again, Chris, congratulations, and keep it up. Now, you may be back on the tournament trail again next year?
We always keep dabbling. It's the competitive nature of a lot of former tournament bass anglers. We still have that competitive drive that we like to dabble every now and then.
Well, listen, that's a good hint, Chris. I'll tell you. Hey, one thing, Chris. Will there be an in-person fisheries meeting like they had? And I know they've been doing it virtually, you know, like the forums. Will that be happening in 2023, maybe over there at Bass River? Please say yes.
Right now.
Or Batsville, I'm sorry.
I believe that it is going to be virtually again for our traditional forums that we've had in the past.
Right.
However, you know, to be announced later on, working with Chief Krause, he has indicated that we do have, and he does intend on having some in-person meetings also. So details to be announced, at a later date. But the forum itself will be virtually done this year. We have such a great, the one thing is with that, we've had such a great attendance virtually over the last few years.
Okay.
Probably 3, 4, 5 times as many people participated.
Excellent then. Okay.
Virtually than we have had in person. But we still absolutely, as an agency and as biologists, we still, we like that personal interaction, the in-person interaction. So we do have something, down the road planned. But for right now, the actual forum will be virtual.
Fair enough, Chris. I'd ask you that. Listen, you have a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Best to Michelle and your two beautiful daughters and your dad. And get some time on the water. Hey, any chance we can get together for a crappy trip on Union Lake, maybe? Please say yes.
I'd like to.
Okay, Chris, you take care, brother. Be good.
All right, you too. See ya. All right, thank you.
Chris Smith, excellent angler, just a super biologist and a great guy. Okay, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Hey, what's coming up? We have the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo in a few weeks. Whoa, that's going to be a knocker. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. One of America's best-known soccer writers, Grant Wall, has died while he was reporting from the World Cup.
Wall was covering the Argentina-Netherlands quarterfinal match when he collapsed at the stadium. Earlier in the tournament, Wall was briefly stopped from attending the U.S.-Wales match because he was wearing a rainbow-colored T-shirt in support of gay rights. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
Federal health officials are warning about a deadly triple threat: flu, RSV, and COVID.
The CDC estimates this flu season so far, 13 million have gotten sick, with 120,000 requiring hospitalization. In total, 7,300 have died, and that's just from the flu. Health experts say there's also RSV impacting kids and COVID to worry about.
Fox's Lauren Blanchard. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey for the overnight, mainly clear and cold. Low temperature down to 25 degrees. And for Saturday, those clouds will thicken up, especially along the shore. Look for a high of just 44 for the afternoon. Saturday night, cloudy, not nearly as cold, with a low of 36 degrees. Heading into Sunday, mostly cloudy. Bit of rain at times into the afternoon. High temperature on Sunday climbing up to 50 degrees for the afternoon. I'm AccuWeather's Matt Benz on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
But hey, people, it's show time! Coming up in, 3, maybe 4 weeks, it's the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. And this year, it was good show, laser, good solid shows here. This year, it's going to kick some ass big time. We're looking at, how many, 70-something, 80-something exhibitors? 45,000. No, is it more than that? How many square feet of it? The place is sold out. The Wildwood Convention Center is sold out. A little teaser right now. We get him. He's running all over the place. Jerry Vessels, owner and promoter. He's all over. I mean, he's bad like a pinball. Bang, 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 boom. Got him out a little bit, Jerry, to talk about the upcoming event. Jerry, how you doing, little brother? What is going on?
Oh, I'm breathing deep, Tom. This is the first time I sat down in like 3 days to talk to you, buddy, and I am pumped.
Jerry, I'm too excited for you, man. This is going to be just a thunderous event. You have it down. You're sold out of space for a January show. Now, listen, there's another show coming up at the end of January. You know, we have the Saltwater Expo, whatever, in February, March up there in Somerset. But this is a South Jersey, Cape May fishing and boating show. You have an incredible list of exhibitors, Jerry. What, 75? I ran out of paper here on a printer here. Man, you got it knocked, bro.
We've got, Tommy, we got eight boat vendors this year.
You got eight?
Up from last year. Eight, yes, correct. We had to expand. We've got over 90 booth vendors with 70 different companies being represented. We got you covered. Anything you need, boating, fishing, gear, accessories, apparel, services, power, repower, boats, trailers, hooks, custom fabrication. We have it all, Tom, under one roof without the pressure of the big boys pushing you down the row without getting a chance to meet and talk to people.
I want to get a little, the next couple of weeks we're going to be having a little teaser. I just want to get to briefly, you have a New Jersey-owned celebrity, known internationally. I had the opportunity, I've known him for 100 years, fish with this guy. Tell us about you're going to have a good list of seminars. Listen, again, one thing about this show, you're going to learn something with the seminars. But you have a hotshot big gun coming in. Who is it, Jerry? Who is it?
Oh, yeah, we got New Jersey native Nick Honoshevsky, who is from Saltwater Underground that you see on the Discovery Channel and Sportsman Channel. Nick is going to grace us with being on scene to answer questions. He's going to do a seminar on how to with some of the local bottom fishing, even some party boat fishing that Nick's done. I mean, he touches all the bases and gets the point home on how to catch some fish locally.
Okay, listen, it's coming up in a few weeks. Saturday, January 7th, show hours, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, January 8th, show hours, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Hey, Vessels, I have to ask you about it's a great facility there, the Wildwood Expo Center, the convention center, rather. The parking, what's the dealio, my brother?
The parking is free, Tommy. We got free parking.
Jerry, that's a win-win right there, man.
Oh, it's a grand slam, Tom. Everything about our show is a grand slam. From the top-rate facility, the people who work there, all the great vendors, the tremendous people who showed a great deal of trust in us, bringing us this show in January last year, and we're super excited.
Jerry, the market being what it is, the lovely Demir and I left last year, and she said, "Man, I just noticed on 4, 5, 6 of these boats sold signs." So they moved some inventory last year, and now it's going to be bigger. Correct?
Yes, and that was one of the reasons. Like I received basically 4 complaints last year, and all 4 said, "We want more boats, Jer. We want more boats." And I listen. I'm the guy that takes all the credit or all the blame, and I was listening.
That he does.
So we've got couple dealers expanded their space. We got 2 more dealers. We have Key West, Tidewater, Aquasport, Bentley Pontoon, Starcraft, UAB Inflotable, Sun Chaser, Wellcraft Scarab, Ranger Tugs, Worldcat, Nautic Star, Quest, Carolina Skiff, Kawasaki and Yamaha Wave Runners, Fin Seeker, Misty Harbor, Mercury, Suzuki, Honda, Yamaha, Repower, and Service.
Listen,
how's that?
This is it. Get the jump on the season. Go to the show in January, and God spares, right, Jerry? You'll be on the water by June. Is that your saying?
Jump in January, be boating by June.
Okay, Jerry, you are doing a studio here in a couple of weeks. You cannot escape, Vessels. I know you're rooting in the morning, but I got you pinned. Okay, Jerry, we'll see you next week. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. But next week, listen, another teaser. We're going to get more and more into this show. It's going to be a hell of an event. Jerry, have a good weekend, man.
All right, thank you, Tommy. Have a great weekend.
See you,
buddy.
That's going to be a hell of an event, man. Jerry Vessels really has it rocking. Hey, mention power. Anything, all your power needs. This is for your boat, for your RV, just camping, whatever, keeping warm. Everything you have, you need is right there at Batteries Plus. 2 locations, 900 Tilton Road, Suite 3 in Northfield, or 1215 Route 73 in Mount Laurel. I'm shouting out right now to Scott Spencer, over here in Norfolk. And Farrah, I will be back in the area on Tuesday with the cards available, because here's my deal. This is what I want for the winter bow season and some late winter goose hunting as it gets really cold January, February, for those snow geese. I want that rechargeable, heatable seat for my butt. Now, I have a lot of cushion back there, people. Down there, I should say. But let me tell you, it gets cold. Don't like to drag a heater in a blind. It's a pain in the ass. Now, this rechargeable seat is just unbelievable. And the Thaw Bluetooth foot warmers. Okay, you get 4 hours on that charge in there, man. Nothing kills you more than, except the wind going down your throat. Nothing kills you more than cold feet during the winter period. That is it. They have them all there. 900 Tilton Road, Suite 3 in Northfield, 1215 Route 73 in Mount Laurel. Batteries, everything for you. I mean, winterization, everything is there. Scott, Farrah, I'll see you on Tuesday. Back to wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Healthy life.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio, 95.5.
Yeah, back inside, wrapping it up with me, Tom P. Rack and Fin Radio, weekend of December 10th and 11th. Hey, lest we forget, pheasant and quail stocking resumes, okay, for this Tuesday the 13th and the next Saturday the 17th. Here are the numbers. Our fave in Central and South Jersey Wildlife Management Area tracks that are loaded, dosed, and otherwise packed with birds. Let's go pheasants first. Now, these numbers are for both stocking days, Tuesday the 13th and Saturday the 17th. Kyers Mills will get 200 both days. Howardsville, 50 both days. Manahawkin, also 50 both days. Medford, 80 both days. Stafford Forge, the forge. We always go around to where the ponds are. Again, less birds, but less people. That's 160 and 160. Dix, 130 and 130. Glassboro, another one of our faves, 100 both days. Heiserville, 50, 50 both days. Mad Horse, 90 and 90. Millville, the big gun, pun intended, 340 both days. And my little Nantungson. I love my Nantungson. 110 and 110. Port Republic. Hey, man, right there, exit 48 off the Garden State Parkway. Go down, come around. Only a couple of fields, but plenty of opportunities. I notice especially Southern Jersey, after Shotgun Buck Week, man, the numbers of hunters goes way down, but that's all right. Tuckahoe will get 110, 110 both days. Winslow, 140, 140. Again, Port Republic will get 50 and 50. For the bobwhite quail, Greenwood, 600. And Peasley, 600 for the 13th. This is weird. I don't get this. For the Saturday, only 260 for each. Maybe the numbers transposed in a digest. Who knows? But plenty of opportunities out there. Like I said in the opening, this weather is fugly. But still get out there, enjoy. Now you have your 3-day in certain DMZs. You got your 3-day Doe-Day Shotgun, whatever you want to call it, either sex coming up. And then you have, depending on the DMZ, there's going to be special permit shotgun, permit bow, permit muzzle right through February. And it's going to be here as soon as you know it, January 1st. Opening of winter bow, small game open. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on. Get out there and enjoy. Get to some of those ponds close to home. The largemouths are there, and they'll be biting. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders, and God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Get out and enjoy Rack and Fin Radio.